Hello, and welcome to Weed and Grub.
Do you want to wait until Archie's done humping his panda?
Can't.
Or just go.
Let's just go.
Okay.
He's tap dancing around like, do you ever notice that his nails sound like, do you know what an abacus sounds like?
I've never kicked it with Archimedes, sorry.
No, you never used an abacus when you were a kid? Anyway.
How do you can't even spell boobs on an abacus. I would never have one.
That's true. But you can chart this, you know, course of your sailboat across the North Atlantic. No, wait, that's a sextant. Sorry.
No, my God. Nerd. I did not know, but I also didn't know what a sextant was. Easy for me to make fun of you because of my lack of knowledge. So I had to like come at you and call you something because I didn't know what a sextant was. So actually, thank you for teaching me, Mary Jane.
Oh, happy to oblige.
Also, I just realized if this is your first time listening, Archie's a dog.
Uh-huh.
So there's not like, it's not like a roommate who's like humping on the couch while we record.
Archie the dog and Bobo the cat are in residence and sometimes they're on this podcast. And they're occasional guests.
What up, Mary Jane?
How's it going, Mike?
Good. We're talking abacuses, sextants, and humping. That's about right.
Yeah, that sounds just about in line with everything we do.
Welcome to a Weed and Grub Spotlight series, everyone. This is when we shine a light on people that we believe in, companies that we believe in.
Yeah, we chart their stars. We ask them their birth signs. We ask them how they got where they are, what obstacles they've encountered. Just we want to know what goes into becoming successful as a business owner, as someone behind a company. We're sort of fascinated in like what makes people tick.
Yeah. How do you tick?
How do you tick?
That's what this is.
Or talk. And what is your TikTok? What is TikTok, actually? I'm part of that group of people who just doesn't know what it is. So
I love that you're like all about the abacus.
Uh-huh. Do you know what an abacus is? How does TikTok work?
Do you want to get to this episode?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Everybody, please leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Follow us at Weed and Grub on Instagram. Slide into our DMs if you want to say hello and enjoy this episode. I feel like that's the basis of all animal care products is like they make you feel like you're not doing enough.
Yeah, and that's all products.
That's all, yeah.
That's the basis of capitalism, just to make you feel slightly ashamed so that you buy more shit. Figure out how to shame my cannabis customers.
To buying your shit?
Yeah, like look at you being a huge loser without this drop of THC.
Shame-based cannabis marketing?
Yo, THC for
Oh,
your...
I should do this for products for men.
Yes.
Shame us?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I
mean? Hey, you little dick fuck face.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wow, that's my dream. Yeah. I thought that making cannabis products for women was my dream, but it turns out that I would like to abuse men.
There's room for both.
At all.
No, but there's room for both, right?
I think there's room for a brand called Little Dick Fuckface in the world.
It's a tincture.
It's in the wellness category.
Yeah. You guys have any more 12-ounce bottles of Little Dick
Fuckface?
When
we were at the artistry, they're like, so we're going to put your product in wellness. And I was like, I'm not a wellness brand. And they were like, your product's going where it's going. And I was like, true.
Well, let's introduce you. What up, Mary Jane?
How's it going, Mike?
It's going great. We're already having fun. I'm a little dick fuckface. apparently,
love it here.
I need all my products bought. Do you mind introducing yourself and saying a little bit about you?
I'm Annalise, and I don't know anything about me except for some reason now I have a cannabis company. So, else about me? I also love snacks, and there are snacks here and pets.
We do it right.
Yeah, we do. And you founded Girl Cult.
I did found Girl Cult, which is a big sort of virtual village full of women and people from other, you know, historically marginalized groups. And we also have pets and snacks there.
And you're funny. I feel like that's the place that I go when I've had a fucking horrible day to just laugh and relax.
Yeah, there's always like a good collection of memes and other people sharing like the follies of their day to sort of normalize the hellscape that we live in. So
thank God for Girl Cult.
It was crazy when I went outside to get Annalise to come in. I was like, how are you? And she was like, tired. Trump is president. The world is too warm. It's a lot. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot.
That's why we all need a lot of weed.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I've started smoking so much more weed in the last year and a half. And I feel so much less insane than I did, say, like at the end of 2016. Because I just have to let some shit go.
And you, I mean, now you have this Girl Cult quiet time.
Yes.
That is exactly for that, right?
Yeah, Totally. When I was developing that product, I was like, everyone has anxiety of all sorts, whether it's like, you know, our traditional I need a Xanax anxiety or just this like existential dread that we're all dealing with. I'm like, can we address this in a neat little bottle?
Existential dread in a bottle. Yeah.
Or the solution to treat your existential dread with quiet time, which is, I mean, I love it because this is the first time I've actually seen it. Thank you for bringing it.
Yeah.
It's 1-to-1 THC to CBD. Mm-hmm. Tincture with, and you like designed this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you played around with all the terp profiles and got really like kind of nerdy about it.
Yeah, they sent down like, you know, a million little bottles of stuff, and I got to sit there and feel like a chemist or like really more like a perfumer. Before we started this company, I was taking all of these perfumer classes. So I think the tincture was like an easy, natural first product for me because I was like, it's the same. We're just going to make perfume with weed.
I'm going to taste it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking delicious.
Yeah?
Yeah, try it.
Yeah?
It's so great. It's got, is it like apricot?
It is vanilla, black pepper, and bergamot. Mm. So I wanted something to be like easily existing in like a bowl of ice cream or on like a cheese plate or something. Because I think that tincture is more fun when you're like eating something.
Yeah.
You know, also it makes it absorb faster because it's fat soluble. So I really like thought about like tea and like the other kinds of like snacks that I eat in my house, which is always like some piece of cake from yesterday or like, you know.
Wait, you have yesterday cake usually?
Yeah. Ooh. I'm just one person, so a cake can last for a long time. And then, you know, like these little like cheese plate scenarios after like a good Trader Joe's trip. And I was like, I want something that goes with these like nice like moments that I have for myself at home. So
it's delicious.
I wanted like savory honey almost kind of. So
it's hugging my tongue.
Ooh.
My tongue, a little hug.
That's a much better tagline than existential dread in a bottle.
Gives your tongue a little hug. Yeah. I don't know. Both are alarming for different reasons, yeah. I think.
Tongue hugging sounds like some weird fetish. Yeah, there's a subcult for tongue hugging.
Oh no. There is for sure a Reddit thread somewhere.
I can see it, like some kind of like fuzzy clamp.
Oh, yeah.
Like some S&M fuzzy clamp on your tongue.
Oh, no. And then it, like, ew, all slobbery. You mm-hmm. know what?
I don't know. But I kind of do.
This is the best marketing for this product ever.
Yeah, we're fun, right? Hell yeah. I don't really know much about Girl Cult because it doesn't sound like I'd ever be invited to it.
No, you're not invited.
For people who would possibly be invited or interested in it, can you give a little bit more of a rundown of it?
Yeah, that thing a few minutes ago where we were developing the anti-men brand. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of like that. No, it's like, it's really just like, you know, women and queer people like holding space for each other. So these are like a network of forums, basically, but they really have like a lot of life and they really do feel like a network of neighbors. So we just raised a bunch of money inside of these groups where we adopted 7 families for Christmas, and that has spun into us also adopting a couple of little families from inside of the group so that we can make sure that everybody has their Christmas presents. You know, somebody's car breaks down, probably the first thing that you do is post in the group and ask for help. So stuff like that, that's like substantial and like a real part of your life. And then everything that I know about skincare I've learned from like being in these groups. And like, we even have like a cooking group that, you know, like started as like, look at my dinner amongst like 5 of us. And now is like 7,000 of us like sharing recipes and stuff. And that one you could actually be in because there are boys in that one.
I love looking at people's dinner.
Yeah. So do I
love it. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Mary Jane made a bolognese the other night
And, oh, I saw that.
And I was like, yo, right? And I was just like, I love looking at this.
Yeah. I made but it those, a second time because I like looking at it so much.
Yeah. I mean, bolognese is my ultimate comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like real things happen from these groups, like people finding a roommate. I made friends with this guy, Henry, actually, from our cooking group because he kept posting these like adorable like miniature foods that he was making. It was like a tiny quail egg and like whatever. And actually somebody from Kraft also saw his posts that he kept making, and he ended up moving out to LA and like working in Kraft for a while. He had never been a professional cook before. And
wait, Tom Colicchio's restaurant, mm-hmm. Kraft?
Yeah, and wow. Then now he's moved back to Chicago and he works at Elizabeth, which has a Michelin star, and this like all happened because he was like posting his tiny dinner in our group.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a girl cult for everything.
Is it like a socialism society built on honesty and being there for each other?
Basically, yeah.
Great.
It really is like this little village.
Yeah. And you're allowed sometimes.
Sometimes you're allowed.
I want to look at folks' food.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. And I'll share my food too. I got some skills. Did you start it because you were feeling, why would I guess? Why aren't I just asking you? Why'd you start it?
This is what I've been doing on the internet since I was 14. Like, we got a computer, you know, probably a couple years into the internet existing, and I was immediately like, how do you use this to talk to other people? And my dad was like this, you know, like a whole dumbass. You shouldn't have been showing me how to do that, because I was like, wow, I'm going to stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning and talk to weirdos. But yeah, I mean, the whole time that I've been on the internet, I've been like trying to figure out how to talk to other people using this thing. I think I was like kind of a lonely adolescent, but also just like conceptually fascinated with the existence of an internet.
Yeah.
When I was 16, I developed raves.com because I wanted to find people to go to raves to.
Hell yes.
And then that led to so many shenanigans, like my 16-year-old self leaving from Florida and going to see De La Soul in North Carolina with like a random internet stranger. But
wow. Wait, you grew up in Florida?
Mm-hmm. What part? Michigan and in Florida. Okay. In Gainesville, uh-huh. Which is like lends itself to a lot of mischief because it's really, really boring. So there, like, that's probably another reason why I was so inside of the internet. But then when I was 20 or 21, I started developing, you know, one of these alt girl porn sites, God's Girls. And that was also about like, let's see if everybody will make friends. And that's sort of like been my whole thing for my whole life. So when I found out that you could make a Facebook group, I was like, wow, I'm going to put everybody in here and then they're going to make friends with each other.
Are you rich?
No.
You didn't. I feel like all the things you've been created and been on the forefront of and just been like raves.com, I feel like would
I'm
sell
always
for
a little
like
bit too
100.
Late.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, not with Quiet Time, though. I feel like you're right on time.
No way. Cannabis is a mess right now.
It is a straight up mess.
Not true. Things are off.
It's
fucking
a disaster.
Mess.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, here I go again. I can't fucking get my shit together fast enough. Now everyone's laying everybody off.
It's so
but
true.
That's fine. I didn't want to take any like private equity money anyway. So
yeah.
A nice benefit of having come from tech is that I already know better. So
yeah. What does that mean? We watch Shark Tank, so I know what equity is. So, but
like. Yeah, when we're like, you know, like when you're developing startups, it's always like people are kind of hoping to get like this huge infusion of private equity money. But private equity just like chokes, you know, your product, and they're just there like vampires to drain as much money as possible. So when I saw that this like same sort of thing was happening in cannabis, I was like, well, I guess we'll just wait until everybody realizes that they're stupid. And then when MedMen did that, you know, 190-person layoff, I was like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And more. Yeah.
Well, it's at every level, like, you know, all the big companies like Ease and Weedmaps, and a lot of the Canadian corporations have had like 25% layoffs. And then, you know, like a lot of the cannabis media landscape is really shifting. Like, I used to work with High Times, and, you know, we're all sort of waiting to see what happens over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are really kind of weirdly not good in the weed landscape.
Well, after recreational, I think people projected this like huge thing was going to happen, but nobody thought about like who is shutting down all this black market stuff, and is that even like really what everybody wants? And then, mm-hmm. you know, because there are companies who do both, like whatever. And then
most do, I would say. Just saying.
In your experience.
In my experience.
You've got some knowledge.
Yeah, but I don't have to speak for everyone at this table.
But yeah, I mean, now they have to answer to their overlords, which are these private equity companies and like big hedge funds and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you have to start squeezing profit everywhere. Mm. I was talking to a friend about, you know, this Canadian company that's about to enter the, or I think it's a Canadian company that's about to enter the market in California. And it's like, they have a 510 threaded vape product that they can sell it for $7. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so how does federal legalization sort of like shift the entire market? And like, are we going to put all of these California, you know, multi-generational cultivators out of business because we can get cheaper weed from Oregon? Mm-hmm. So there are just like too many questions for me. And I think that the sort of like enthusiasm for federal legalization reminds me of people's enthusiasm for Prop 64, mm-hmm. where they were like, yeah, it's going to be recreational, it'll be so awesome. But it, you know, like I need to understand all of the nuance before I want that to happen.
Yeah.
Also, I hate the federal government. So
is it just Trump or just top to bottom?
It's everyone. I hate them all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is girl cult become like some kind of like a sanctuary of things too?
Speaking as someone who goes there for relief, I can say I find solace in a lot of what goes on there.
After the 2016 election, we got so much more sort of like militant about who could be in the groups. And I knew that there were just like a few people who were like leaned more conservative. The day after the election, I deleted them all out of the group. It's like, there's like no more like tolerating each other's like nonsense. So this is definitely, girl cult is for sure a leftist space, and it's not moderate at all.
Yeah.
Like I think, you know, if we have a second Trump term, everyone in girl cult will be like a communist by the end of this.
Yeah.
Like it'll just like keep getting worse and worse. So I hope that we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Or and Mark Zuckerberg shuts it down because of that.
Totally.
Yeah. Because he sucks too.
Yeah. He sucks.
Mark Zuckerberg as a person can get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Your Julius Caesar haircut.
I know. Why does he have those tiny bangs? Yeah. What a loser.
Tiniest. It's like the haircut I gave myself in second grade.
Yeah, you have to be having a meltdown of some kind to have that. Like, nobody who can self-soothe has that haircut. It's like really upset goth girls and like toddlers who got a hold of scissors.
Oh, and they just like cut up.
Yeah,
in the
and
mirror.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Uh-huh.
Like, is he okay?
No.
I'm concerned for just like his general mental state if he has those bangs. Those are the least trustworthy bangs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Trustworthy bangs.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Some people have like good, like, I don't know. Yeah. Some like good, beautiful bangs where you can tell that their hairdresser loved them. And then some people have craft scissors. Yeah. And like billions of dollars. Like, go to a real hairdresser, you total nerd.
Would you, do you trust Zooey Deschanel?
Do I trust her?
Because of her bangs?
I don't know. I think it's like neutral on the Zooey bangs.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
Hmm.
I saw her speak once at a food event with Jonathan Gold and I can't remember his name, but he was a guy who was like making community food projects for he was from South LA and he was like growing food in the median and stuff. And she had come out with this like really expensive food tower that she was deploying with her husband, which cost like $600. And she was sort of like touting the benefits of like growing your own. And he just put her on blast in front of everyone and was like, that's not affordable and not realistic for
right. Who is $600
for a food tower? He was like, it was really funny.
Yeah, no.
She was very gracious and it was great, but it was clear that he was just like not having it with her
right.
or her bangs.
Or her bangs. Yeah, her bangs do say $600 food tower, I think. Which is like, I'm sure they're not like malicious bangs, but they're like disconnected from actual reality bangs.
Yes. I love this. I feel like we could go through all of the bangs in the world and just
I'm here to
out
do
what's
a bang
up.
Analysis.
What was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo. Oh, my first tattoo is you probably know what it is, an Emily the Strange.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like 15, you know, like drunk in Orlando or something. And I was like, I have this keychain. I want a tattoo. But I remember the tattoo artist was like, this is what you want. And I should have really respected his reaction. I was like, yeah, I look super committed to it.
Well, if your tattoo artist was tattooing a drunk 15-year-old girl, it was right. probably like...
I mean, this was like probably, it was in Orlando, and it was probably like where all of this, you know, like the partying is happening by the bars and stuff. I'm sure I had the worst fake ID ever. And I'm sure that the manager just told him to tattoo me and that he was just dreading the entire situation.
Yeah.
Like, I just a nightmare that walked in. But in Florida, they just kind of let you do whatever, I think.
Isn't it great? Yeah. It's kind of great. I love Florida.
It's a nightmare. I hate Florida.
Well, I'm not from there. My grandma just lived there. Uh-huh. So when I would go.
Where in Florida?
She lived in a retirement. Boynton Beach, I think was the name
Boynton
of it.
Beach.
Yeah. I had a ball. And when we were there with Magical Butter and we were running around Tampa, equal ball.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I don't know. I just think the weed scene in Florida has got to be a strange situation if you're a resident, though, because you have to have a medical card in order to access it.
I haven't been back to Florida. Well, I've been back a couple of times, but just for, like, my sister's high school graduation, which is just, like, a weekend walking around Sarasota being like, what is this place? But where I grew up, I mean, I have not been back to, like, have any weed there.
Did you smoke when you were growing up?
Yeah, but, like, where I grew up is, like, North Florida, so really South Georgia, and no cool drugs really, like, are in good condition by the time they get there.
Yeah.
Is it a beer place mostly?
It's like a college town. So it's, I mean, we definitely had weed, but it was like this sad weed from the before picture. Our weed had ugly bangs.
Like you could see its roots. It was just.
Yeah, it was a disastrous weed. I actually thought that I hated weed for a long time because I grew up with boys being like, hit the bong and like yelling at me and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I like this. Like, yeah. I feel scared and I think I overdosed on drugs. So I didn't find out that I liked weed until I was like maybe like 25 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, you can just sit with your girlfriends and smoke weed and like no one yells that you have to clear an 11-foot bong. This is amazing.
I remember the first time I ever got like properly baked was on hot knives in a basement with a blowtorch and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. That was all of my, probably my first 100 weed experiences were like that. You know, it's like somebody with like a bong that almost touched the ceiling being like, you have to clear it. And I'm like, I don't think I can breathe. Like, what? Like, I'm 12. Why are you yelling? I need my parents to come get me.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, in the like cannabis culture, in some circles, like there was definitely a time that I was sort of like forced to have more weed than I was necessarily comfortable with.
That was all of the
something.
Yeah, totally. And it was always like bossy, like stupid boys. Like no girl ever was like clear the bong and like yelling at me and stuff. When I was smoking weed with girls growing up, it was like we were like trying to find something to roll a joint with and like being like resourceful together and then like sneaking out behind a thing and then laughing at TV. Smoking with boys is just like always like a scene from like Animal House or something. I'm like, why are we all dying?
I definitely know some girls who go hard though.
Totally. But I don't think that women are inclined to like bully each other to the same like way or like being like competitive. I don't know. At least that has not been my experience.
Right. They're not like, do that 1 gram dab or you fucking or you suck.
Yeah, exactly. I just did a dab with my girlfriend the other day, my first dab.
Ooh.
And she was so nice about it. And she like put a little bit and like explained like the whole thing to me. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting like a facial or something at the spa.
How was your experience with the dab?
It was awesome. I loved my dab.
Yeah. What was it?
It was, I had bought it at the Artistry, like Papa and Barclay live resin thing. Mm-hmm. When they ring it up, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's $100. And I was like, okay. Like,
what? Whoa.
Yeah.
Some for 1 gram. Dabs. Yeah.
But I was like, I guess if it's going to be my first dab, we'll go like a luxury dab.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
Would you do it again and again if you're with good people?
Totally. But since I'm doing all this product development, the reason that I've avoided the dabs is because I'm trying to be really mindful of my tolerance so I can have like the average person's experience when I'm developing these products and like try to have empathy for the average consumer. Otherwise, I think that my, you know, my understanding of how most people are using this stuff will become, you know, a little bit warped.
Yeah. Definitely.
We're doing pre-rolls next, so I've been just smoking all of the best weed.
Nice.
And then...
Wait, why? Like, what does testing look like when you're creating your own brand?
I mean, for me, it's like sitting with a notebook and like smoking weed and like treating it like a sommelier experience or something where I'm like, okay, this one tastes like this. And then like reading a whole bunch about this strain. So I have like a little notebook where I like make notes about that and then notes about the grower and like, do I want to buy a pound of weed off of them? And, you know, here's how I felt during the thing. And
we need to get you a gold leaf tasting journal.
I have that tasting journal. The pages are too small for me. I'm too insane. It's not them. It's me. Like my, like I need to just like talk to myself for like an hour.
Yeah. You need a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. You use your IG story to do that a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Like I love when you broke down kind of the basics of cannabis for everyone recently on your IG story. And should I make this a highlight? And it was great because it really did sort of just like one-on-one, like here's my experience as a woman who smokes weed.
Yeah, I'm trying to like demystify this stuff for them a little bit because even in like our cannabis group, which are all like regular cannabis users and a lot of professionals and stuff, people are still like, can someone explain like what is a terpene? And I'm like, okay, I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's I think the biggest mysticism. People are like, cannab what and terp what? And, you know, like I had a friend come over the other day and she was like, I just have a super basic question. I want to drink less. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. What do I ask for when I go to the dispensary? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know, just talk about like a high CBD strain and find some, you know, start with some flower. And it was just like really basic information that she couldn't. She was like, there's too much out there. I just need someone to be straight with me about what I need.
And you need like a good foundation also of understanding this stuff. And then it like starts to come together, you know, but I feel like people, you know, everyone's like introduction to weed is like a sativa or an indica. And like, that's like questionable whether or not that's even like valuable information. I mean, of course, it's like useful when you're shopping. It helps a person to like steer you. But
I don't know. I just tried White Claw for the first time and I was like, what is it? And they were like, it's alcoholic seltzer water. And I was like, sign me the fuck up. I knew what I was getting into and I had a great time.
But like, your point about the sativa and indica thing is, you know, like Leafly basically just debunked that with their new classification system because it really is about cannabinoids in balance with terpenes, and a hybrid might actually have almost the same profile as a sativa or an indica. Like it's really about the combinations of things.
I still think it's great. Valuable language, you know, like language changes, and like even though we know that those terms are wrong or whatever, we still know when somebody says sativa, we know what they mean, you know. Like they want some like buzzy like caffeine kind of situation, and when somebody says indica, we know what they mean. So I think the words are still useful, but yeah, there is definitely, you know, tons more information. I think also the consumer is getting exponentially smarter like every single day, and that makes me really excited. You know, I'm excited for when we start releasing pre-rolls to like put as many terpenes on the box as possible and like try to explain what those things are inside of the box and like do all of the things and like have an actual like educational experience. I think that's how you get better cannabis consumers anyway, people who will ultimately be happier with products when they know what to look for and how to shop for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now you have the Girl Cult tincture, Quiet Time tincture, and you'll have pre-rolls available.
Pre-rolls and jarred flowers soon.
Cool.
And then we hope edibles next. That's really why I'm trying to be mindful of my tolerance because, you know, in California we have these like 10 milligram-ish increments up to 100. So I'm like, just try to be able to get high off of 10 milligrams a little bit so that you know what the customer is doing.
Yeah.
Was there a name for this before Quiet Time? How did you land on it? Like, were you like, it's called
I think, I don't know. I think we could have been sillier with the name. I don't know that this name is like reflective of like Girl Cult stuff, which is kind of just like, I think Girl Cult stuff is like a bunch of like internet hoodlums trying to be nice to each other. But I did think a lot about like the newer to cannabis sort of customer or whatever and what would make them comfortable. So I was like, it should look like a perfume or a candle so that people understand that it's for like having a nice like treat with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not going hard at a rave or
right, exactly. And also like I think that like Quiet Time thing is just like some, it's like a Calgon moment for weed. Do you remember those Calgon commercials? I was obsessed with those when I was a kid.
Take me away.
I thought that Calgon was like the height of like any possible luxury. Like if you would have offered me a box of that shit or like an Hermes bag, I would have taken the Calgon like no questions asked.
That says so much about who you are. That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, I just had no idea. And I was like, Calgon is like super luxurious. When my mom would have a box of it, I would be like, we are living right now. Yeah,
I love that. But it's such a big part of, I think, like what I get from what I know of you is that you like take great pleasure in the smallest of things.
Oh yeah. And I'm really obsessive about like having like a nice bath or like, I don't know. I'm just such a nerd, or like having like the right place where I want to sit to like read my book or like the snack that I want or whatever. It's like big moon and Taurus energy all the time. Like I need to be comfortable. So that product is for, I need to be comfortable. And Donald Trump is our president. Like, time. I need to be comfortable and high, or I'm not going to survive this.
Oh my God. I think that should be the and title
like,
of the pod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'm poor. I want my stuff to look expensive.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yes to all of it. Love it so much.
On that tip, like going into 2020, what are your hopes? What are your dreams for yourself, for your company, for the world?
What are your plans?
What are your plans?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to get more products on the market. Obviously, I would love to be a conduit to greater sort of like cannabis education. I'm also really interested in supply chain stuff, and like a big problem that I have as a consumer is that I don't know where any of this shit came from or like who's making it. So I want to really focus in 2020 on being super transparent and giving like anyone, you know, a product that they would be embarrassed not to buy. So instead of like, sometimes I'm like, why did I buy this? Like, I don't even know like where it came from. I think these people are probably evil. So, we're going to be working to try to create relationships with women cultivators and queer cultivators. And I want to be able to tell those people's stories, like, you know, with our company. I don't know that there's, you know, $1 billion to be made in cannabis. And I don't think that I'll necessarily ever like make my millions with this. So I have to approach this from like a legacy is the greatest form of currency standpoint. It's like, how can I do some kind of good? And like, while we're building this company, and like, it has to be to like network with these women and like, hopefully empower their business in some way, or at least tell their story in like a beautiful way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Legacy is the best form of currency.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that before. You guys have gotten some good coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mary Jane article was nice. And then we had another little one about the day that we did with AHH.
What's that?
Oh, so when we were at the Artistry, we were there because it was World AIDS Day, and we had partnered with the Alliance for Housing and Healing, which is a super amazing organization that their goal is to basically eradicate new HIV transmissions by getting people off the street. Mm-hmm. So they provide housing for like 3,000 people in West Hollywood. And basically, once you are in their care within a year, they can make you undetectable, you know, with like the right cocktail of antivirals and stuff. And then once you're undetectable, you're not spreading HIV anymore. So it's like super noble work. So we were there to sell all of these units that we had brought to the Artistry. We were going to donate 100% of our profit to them. And then it was like, Metric was like, just kidding, you can't bring any product into the Artistry. And I was like, okay. So we just like went to their city council meeting with them. And then when we can get our product in there, you know, everybody will go there and buy it, and we'll give them the money.
We got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, big plans for 2020. Hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Well, hopes, dreams, but they're going to become reality,
yes,
too.
They are.
I mean, that's what we're about.
Are we manifesting?
Fuck yeah, we're manifesting. Let's go.
And listen, we're going to South by Southwest in March with the podcast, and I'm going to take quiet time on the road with
me.
That's
because so exciting.
I know that's going to be my little evening tincture to, like, soothe my soul, hug my tongue.
I just microdose that shit all day long now. I'm like, you know, like the wind blows wrong and I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to have to get into my purse. Does anyone know where my bag is?
Where can everybody find you? What's the plugs?
The plugs, well, it's GRLCVLT, and that's on Instagram and basically everywhere except for Twitter, because Twitter's too scary. That's it, really.
And if you're in California, if you're in Los Angeles, you can get Girl Cold through, or Quiet Time through
Through Ease, yeah. In select parts of Los Angeles. Thank you, Metric.
That's what's up.
Awesome.
And Mary Jane's house.
Yeah. It's at Mary Jane's house. DM me.
Come on over. I got a pot of curry bubbling on the stove right now.
That's what smells so good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really, you do have curry bubbling right now, don't you?
I do. That Le Creuset, man. I just can't walk away from that thing.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Le Creuset. If we can get sponsored by Le Creuset, that would be the shit.
Dream.
Me too. I would also like one.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's because you cook as well.
I do cook as well. I love cooking. That's why I'm super excited to start developing edibles for myself. I've been developing edibles for other brands.
I would love to come test any edibles if you ever need help.
I will bring some by. I have a selection of chocolate bars right now that are for another brand. They're not medicated yet, but I'm so excited for them to become medicated. They are fancy.
Oh, yeah? All right. Well, you have a great tongue, Mary Jane.
Oh. It likes being hugged. Thanks.
At the fur bondage tongue thing again. I'm leaving.
It's a callback. thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us at Weed and Grub on Instagram. You can email us, weedandgrub@gmail.com. If you have any hot wisp pics to send, slide into my DMs. And
leave us a 5-star review if you listen to us through iTunes. It takes only a second. Leave a real review with a bunch of words in it if you fuck with us. Thank you.
Tell your buds to follow us.
That's it.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, thank you for coming and hanging.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.